Every 4th of July, 500,000 people or more descend on Boston to hear this. But the Boston Pops won't be playing their traditional fireworks spectacular at the Hat Shell this year. Instead, it'll be held virtually. And here to talk more about that is the conductor of the Boston Pops Orchestra, Keith Lockhart. Keith, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana. Thanks for having me.
So, Keith, you won't be conducting outside on the Esplanade this year. Where will you be?
Crying into my beer somewhere, I suppose. I'm going to spend, of course, the holiday with my family. And now that my kids are a little bit older, I've actually spent the holiday with them these last couple of years because they've been old enough to stay awake through the live concert down at the Hat Shell. I'm going to spend some properly socially distanced backyard time with some close friends. Hopefully, if everybody else is into it, we'll watch the show during that period of time. It's going to be hard to watch the show. It's really, there have been a whole lot of disappointments, large and small, especially for performing artists over these last 3 or 4 months, because our voices have been silenced. We can't do what it is we do, which is bring people together in community for, a shared emotional experience. The 4th of July is just the biggest and most prominent of those moments. And having done 25 straight 4th of Julys in Boston, and having worked for several years before that with orchestras, I've never had a 4th of July off for 30 years. I don't know what to do with myself. If I could take suggestions from the audience, that would be great.
I do want to ask
you. What do you do on the 4th of July?
Yeah, I know. No kidding. I watch you guys. I do want to ask you, is there anything that's possible this year, because it's virtual, that hasn't been in the past with the spectacular?
Well, that's a really interesting question. Even though we only announced it relatively a short time ago, we've pretty much been thinking since the end of March. It didn't take a genius to figure out that we may have trouble with a live 500,000 person event in the current situation. And we were thinking about, we need to stay in that place. I mean, for so many people, their understanding of the way they celebrate the holiday is the Boston Pops is in the center of that. And so we wanted to put a show on. We knew we had lots of great material from previous years, but we also didn't want to just run a rerun. It's one thing to do a retrospective, but we're in such a unique time. I mean, not just in terms of the pandemic that has shut so many things down on a worldwide scale, but also with the recent unrest about uncovering a very obvious and ongoing racial injustice in this country. All those things need to be contextualized. I mean, we've always felt that the concert was not just let's get together every July 4th and go rah-rah, but it was not only a celebration, but it was also an honest look at what we still needed to commit ourselves to achieve this dream that's called America.
Keith, I want to stay on that theme for a minute. I want to play some of a performance from last year that I understand will be featured in this year's spectacular. This is Grammy Award-winning Americana artist Rhiannon Giddens performing her song, She's Got You.
The only thing different.
So the world of classical music has long been accused of being unwelcoming to Black artists. Giddens herself has been frank about racism she's experienced in her career and in the very roots of the music she performs. How do you see the role of your institution in tackling systemic racism? I know, the Pops has been clear. One of the messages of this year's spectacular is to be confronting racism.
Yes, well, as you know, I think everyone, at least those of us who, are trying to do the right thing and are well-meaning in our attempts in the performing arts, this has caused everybody to take a long, hard look at what it is they do, who gets featured, who gets shoved to the side, how the history of music gets written and our part in playing in that. Rhiannon is an amazing, amazing individual and has done so much to, if you will, set the record straight. The concerts she has done with us over these last couple of years involve basically telling the actual story of American folk music and how it had often been co-opted by the people in power to be different from what it actually was. We were very committed when we started putting the show together, which was long before the events of the last 3 or 4 weeks. We started talking about what we put on this program in April, and we really wanted a incredibly diverse cast of artists. I think the makeup of the 4th of July has always tried to reflect the fact that we're playing for our widest and most diverse audience. And I'm proud to say, looking at the lineup for 2020, is that we have, for probably the first time, a majority-minority set of headliners, which is really wonderful, because at the end of the day, the pops has always gone in more different directions than the traditional classical music industry, and we need to reflect that.
So I hosted a WBUR virtual town hall this week, and one of the guests was Matthew Teitelbaum, the director of the Museum of Fine Arts, and we were talking about the role that our cultural institutions play in our city's life. Here's what he said about how he's trying to change his institution after middle schoolers encountered racism while on a tour there.
We also want to make sure that we become an institution in which the voices of our community are heard, that we are a platform in a reciprocal relationship where they can see themselves, understand themselves, and be heard. It has to change. And it has to change because when that starts to change, belonging starts to change. And when belonging starts to change, you are part of Boston and you are changing the way Boston understands itself.
When I heard that, I found myself thinking about this conversation we were going to have too, because you are the head of another significant cultural institution in our city. What are your reflections or reactions on kind of his thoughts there?
Well, it was beautifully put, for one thing. And, the proof is in how all of us, the large established institutions, respond to the moment and go further. I think, we need to start looking at things. It's always been easy in some ways to say, music in classical music is in many ways a great meritocracy. We try very, very hard when we let people into the Boston Symphony and the Boston Pops, for instance, to only pick the best people, no matter what background they come from. But when we look at the chance of minority voices to be heard compositionally, for instance, we have to do better. We have to look at our community and constantly ask the question, are we in any way reflective of the community whom we ask to listen to us?
Keith, let's talk about the holiday itself. I think we're looking at the 4th differently this year. First, as we've just been talking about, our country's increasing racial awareness means we recognize that the date didn't mean independence for a huge segment of our population. But we're also at a time when symbols of patriotism are becoming politicized, the flag, for example. Do you feel that in preparing for this celebration? And how does it affect both how we should prepare or celebrate the 4th and also how people experience it, do you think?
Wow. Well, you're right. I mean, the problem, everything has been put into question. You're right. It's easy to celebrate July 4th, 1776, and until you realize that a large portion of the people living in the country were not affected by that Declaration of Independence, and even the 50% or over, the female population of the country didn't get the vote till well over 100 years over that, and did not have one of the very basic rights that we consider part of being, part of a free democracy. I think we've always been very careful at the Pops, and I think this year in particular, to make sure that this was not just another rah-rah, wrap yourself in the flag sort of moment, that there are things that we can celebrate. There are commonalities that we can celebrate. There are accomplishments we can celebrate, but also the acknowledgement each year that what we celebrate as being America is not always in actuality what we say that it is. And that 4th of July, more than just being patting ourselves on the back, is a recommitment from everybody there to look at the problems confronting our country and be brave enough to confront them. I think of America as an ideal. Is it a reachable ideal? Perhaps. Certainly it's reachable better than we've managed to do so in the last 230 years.
So Keith, part of the reason we're having this conversation is that we're in a pandemic. It's changing how we're doing everything. And I wonder, are you rethinking what gathering and togetherness is going to mean for live music in the future and in the long run?
Well, one thing I'll say is that I've even though I have a couple of young kids at home, and so I get to dive into spending time with them, and that's wonderful. Certainly, I think I've spent more time in the last 4 months with them than I've spent in their entire lives to date before that, because of the nature of a conducting career. But one thing that I, when I've had my own reflective moments, I think all of us who love the arts and are committed to these great institutions that have been where they have lived and gone out into the community for so many years, have been thinking about what the road back might look at like. But as you know, the scenario has shipped under us and almost on a daily basis. So we've been speculating, if things are like this, how can we bring music to people? One thing I can tell you is that the next time I get to step onto a stage and look at the people out in the audience and say, we'd like to give this to you, we'd like to share this with you, I will never take this job for granted again. I'll never take my role as a performer for granted again. I mean, I love what I do. I feel very blessed and very fortunate, but everybody's job feels like a job sometimes. I can't imagine ever being not grateful for the privilege of standing out there on stage.
And that's Keith Lockhart, conductor of the Boston Pops Orchestra. You can watch this year's July 4th fireworks spectacular called A Boston Pops Salute to Our Heroes on WHGH Channel 7 or Bloomberg TV and radio starting at 8 p.m. Keith, good luck on 4th of July, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we'll go out today on the Boston Pops playing John Williams' Summon the Heroes, part of their recent virtual performance dedicated to frontline workers. And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director with engineering today by Glenn Alexander. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi, and I'm Tisiana Deering. Thanks for listening today. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.